mother was always there.
Oh, yes, that's right. He was there quite a lot, really, but mother was always with us. And I remember one of my loveliest recollections was seeing my father and mother go for a walk. He came over, and I suppose they thought, well, we'd better go for a walk and chat out whatever we've got to chat out at home. This is another supposition on my part, you see.
Yeah.
And, oh, it was wonderful to see my father walking, my mother walking arm in arm with my father, you know.
Yeah.
I thought that was lovely, you know.
Yeah.
It was always a bit of a romantic for things like that.
Yeah.
I see them walking off, going off for a walk arm in arm, you see.
Yeah.
I was going down to Fairfield Road. And that was, that to me was lovely. Because you didn't usually see husbands and wives walking like that, you know. And they probably had a row halfway through, but at the same time, to me.
Yes.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
He probably said, we better come out and we'll discuss this. And they walked off arm in arm, you see.
Yeah.
I don't say she was arrested or anything like that, but
no.
To me, it was beautiful. You know. It's amazing what things. Children, really.
Yeah.
And,
Your mother died in
1980.
Flu.
Yeah. Well, funnily enough, you see, we had an awful flu all through the summer. And at that particular time, they were talking amalgamating the two schools, the girls and boys, which were side by side. Was a headmaster, there was a master and a mistress and two juniors, you see. And mother was fighting that tooth and nail because she knew that she would be the assistant.
Yes.
And she was very angry about it because she didn't see any reason why they should be any different, why they shouldn't remain as they were. The school rules hadn't fallen or anything like that, but there was some decision that it ought to be a man in charge of the whole school. But what they would have done, I don't know, because later they did get rid of that school altogether and they built another one on the field opposite. But she was very, very angry about that. And she was fighting tooth and nail against it. But there was a flu epidemic. And she felt she was not going to be away from school. She wasn't going to give them any leeway, you see.
Yes.
So she didn't stay away from school. And she had the flu, but she didn't have it so badly that she had to stay at home. But she didn't stay at home anyway, and she went to school. And it all passed over, and there was nothing more about it. But the thing was that you never knew when an inspector was going to come in to inspect, so she was on the alert the whole time. Well, then came the Easter Christmas holidays. Gerald was coming home with his pal Van Ostrand, and he just got his commission, and he and Van Ostrand were coming home. A great war was over. It was a great deal. And we were in Bamstow with her on Saturday, and we met somebody. He said, "Well, Mrs. Fitzgerald," he said, "you could be their sister, not their daughter, not their mother, you know."
Yeah.
He said, "Then none of them will ever be as good looking as you," says this man, to us standing there, you see, a cat in himself. And he said, "Never mind, it's nice to see you all together," so he said. But he said, "You look better than your daughters do, you know."
Mm.
So she laughed, but she was used to these sort of comments. So she, because a lot of them, she had taught when she was in, as a pupil teacher, she had taught in Korea. So a lot of the people she met in Bannelstow were ex-pupils of hers, and they seemed to have a regard for her.
Yeah.
You know? So of course, that would be one Saturday. Then on the following Friday, she was developed a cold. On the following Friday, she was really poorly. On the Saturday, she decided she'd better stay in bed. So she stayed in bed, and we sent for the doctor. And the doctor came, and he said, oh, he said, you'd better send for your father. He said, I'm not very happy about your mother. He said, you'd better send for your father and for the priest. Oh, he got an awful shock. I could have never even thought such a thing. But she was so determined that everything was going to be right for Gerald coming home. And he was home, you see. And she didn't want to give in and say that she wasn't well. And so Dad came home. And he was sitting by her. She saw the priest. She didn't seem all that bad. She was propped up in bed, but she didn't seem all that bad. Well, you weren't prepared to believe that she was ill, really and truly, I think. So anyway, Dad was going to sit up with her all night. And somewhere about 3 o'clock in the morning, I was making sure the fire kept going downstairs and that there'd be hot water and that there'd be... I'd insist on Kathleen going to bed because she had borne the brunt of it really, so insisted that she got to go to bed, and she was in bed and asleep, and he came downstairs and he said to me, your mother says she's got a very bad pain. She said, would you get a bit of flannel from that? There was a cupboard by the side of the fireplace. There's some flannel in there, and warm it in front of the fire, cover it up and bring it straight up. I got to the door and he said to me, oh, girlie, he said, it's too late, your mother's dead. So I went in, I went round the landing and I went into the girl's room. Knelt down. What I didn't call God isn't worth talking about. It was cruel and it was unkind. And Kathleen woke up. She said to me, what's gone wrong? And she said, you didn't call me. So I said, I couldn't call you. And you've not. So there was that. There was two families, two that I was with,
yes.
Might say, you
yes.
know. Get over
these
things. But
you
I
get
saw,
used to them.
Saw her buried and I didn't cry. Couldn't cry. I was just turned to stone. Nothing in me would move.
Yeah.
And nobody realised it, you know.
Yes.
But anyway, she looked lovely. She really did. She looked absolutely. Because she was buried on the Monday. You see, she died on the first of Sunday morning.
Yeah.
3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
But Kathleen was very cross with me because I couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah.
It just happened to be my fate that
yes.
I was the one
right.
to be there.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
And I didn't go in and see Mother then because Dad said no, dear. He said, no, don't. I suppose he wants to be crying on his own,
yes.
you know. But anyway, life hasn't been bad to us, really. It's been very good. When you
yes.
consider it, very good. But it's very... Anyway.
Auntie Evelyn felt it, I think, hard, sort of. She always used to refer back to the fact of how young she'd been
yes.
when she'd lost... Loss of mother.
That's right, yes.
She's sort of used to
it. And then, of course, you see, my aunt came up and she said to my father, well, I'll take Evelyn home with me.
Yes.
So, of course, she went straight away off to to Athlone,
no,
you
to
see, to Benlamullion,
yeah.
to Auntie Dean.
Yeah.
And she wasn't a mother, really, was she? But she was good to her, but...
Yes.
She thinks there was a lot of things that weren't as good
yes.
as they could be, you know.
Yes.
But, I mean, you'd think of it, she wouldn't appreciate a lot of the things
no.
that had to be done, really and truly.
No.
because she never had been a mother, and she looked after my other aunt's children and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That was all she knew about children.
That's right.
But I think on the whole, Evelyn was well looked after, really.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
But she always resented the fact that she had to go away.
Yes.
But then it was done out of kindness, because it wasn't fair to Kathleen.
Yes,
really.
That's right, yes. And my father went for a little while to Aunt Delia's, but I think he proved more than she could manage, didn't he?
Michael?
Yes.
Oh, he was there for quite a while.
Yeah.
He was there, oh, he'll tell you funny stories about how he had to... I think he really resented a lot of things that happened that time, because he had the pony to look after.
Yeah. Yeah.
And after he came back, back home again, he wasn't there all that long, but after he came back again, because he and John were sleeping in one bed, and he got out of bed one night, and he was lying on the... There was a washstand with a ledge underneath that, you know, the water, you always rested on that, you know, when you were washing and that sort of thing. And Mother heard him, and he was lying on the ledge, this ledge, and he had something or other, and he was, "Go on, Dolly, go on, Dolly. Come on, Dolly." He was drunk driving the deer, Matilda. He was driving the donkey. He was driving the pony.
Yes, yes.
See? And so Mother thought, oh no, his kids had more than he wanted.
Yes, yes.
But he never went back. But
he used to tell all sorts of stories.
Oh yeah, but of course he did elaborate them, I think.
Yes, the story of the sweets in the box, the toffees in the box, where he'd... that he was supposed to be selling, and he took one, and by the time he tried another one, and it got to the stage where the top layer was beginning, so he finished it off and cut the box down so she wouldn't realise that the top layer had gone.
I think on the whole she was never unkind to him, but I think he didn't really enjoy it, you know. She put a lot on him, really, because he'd have to drive that pony and trap into Earthbound and collect the goods, you know,
that
sort of thing.
And on Sundays, he used to drive them to church. And as they went past sort of a spot where some miles across the field was the cemetery where the grandparents were buried.
Oh, that is it. You were going to class.
Was it? Oh,
yes.
She used to always cry as they passed this spot so many miles away from the...
Yes, yes. That was as you went to class, because they used to go to Glasson occasionally. They'd go to Mass in Athlone, and then instead of going home, they'd go to Glasson the other way, you see. And the cemetery was out the Glasson road.
Yes.
And, she really was... she didn't have a bad life, but